Yeah, okay, Rabbi Isai. the Rosh was really one of the latest of the Balei HaTosfos. And the latest of the Balei HaTosfos, and yet was considered to be one of the most authoritative. Interesting to point out that the Rivosh, also one of the great Rishonim, the Rivosh was the Talmud of the Ran. And Rivosh, as well as also the Shittim Kibetzes, or Betzal Ashkenazi, they write regarding the Rosh that he was Rabban Shul Golus Hachayil Hazeh Hashem Mikinanim Isis Atzarfas Yisforad V'roiv Hagoyle Kobluhu L'Rav Aleim. That most of the exile accepted the Rosh. Ashkenazim, Sfardim, Rosh was considered to be the highest authority, which was respected and accepted his opinions. The Rosh was multi-talented. When you talk about Rishonim and Bechlal, who are we? Even to try to describe Rishonim. Rishonim kamalochim, that's what they are. And yet you see, you find that some Rishonim, nevertheless, just sort of like stood out and have become sort of like more accepted based upon their writings, based upon their teachings, based upon their oifm of writing, the style of their writing, and overall accepted in the communities worldwide at large. Interesting to point out that the Marama Rottenberg, who was the Gadol HaDor of his time in Germany, lived in Germany, and the Rosh, as we mentioned many times, was one of his Talmidim. Among the many, many different Talmidim, Marama Rottenberg had a lot of Talmidim. But among the many Talmidim, it was the Rosh was the only one can say, really became the Yairish, or being the successor, and being the accepted Gadol HaDor to take the place to be the Mamala Mokim, that which the Marama Rottenberg was. And that was due to the independent creativity that the Rosh had. And that was considered to be the spiritual heir, as it were, to the Marama Rottenberg. It's good to point out that the Marshal Rav Shlomo Luria, again in his time, of course, in Akron, going in the 1500s, Shlomo Luria writes, it's about the Hagdoma V'Sefer Yam Shel Shlomo. He talks about the Marama Rottenberg, and he said, Marama Rottenberg, Hem mi Talmid Echot. He says, among the many Talmidim, he really produced one Talmud, Shekemat, he said, Mila Mekoymoy, Kemat. That just about, he just was able to fill his place and to be Memalamokim. Maronav Rabono Rabbeinu Osher. Anybody Bechlal who is familiar with the Marshal is a very, very critical person. And really, he does not stand and doesn't make a difference. Even Gedolei Yisrael way before him. Nevertheless, if he has something to say, he really says it. And it's very interesting to see how the great godless that he basically extends to the Rosh to point out Maronav Rabono, says Rabbeinu Osher. The Rosh, as it were, you know, interesting to point out, came according to his son. There's a Tzvoas Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of the Rosh, who himself was an Odom Godel in his own right, overshadowed by his father. I guess the only one that one might say of the sons of the Rosh that one can say was not, at least, not totally overshadowed, is the Balaturim. The Balaturim himself was actually was the son of the Rosh, and really made his mark in his own right, in many, many ways, as being also, again, the compiler of all the different opinions. What the Tur did with the Dalet Chelkish Shulchan Aruch is to bring together all the different opinions, both Ashkenazim and Sfarad and so on. And particularly noteworthy is that he had first-hand knowledge to the Psukim of his father. So many things that we would not find in any particular writings of the Rosh, but the Balaturim in his Sefer, the Tur, we see that he brings down personal in Psukim and the halachic decisions from his father. So the Balaturim, of course, stands out extraordinarily. But the Rosh, nevertheless, is the Rosh, as we know it. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh writes in its Torah that our family really has a long legacy of Gedolei Yisrael, even though many of them, the names were not familiar to us, but there's a legacy of Gedolei Yisrael going back many, many generations. He writes, Anshe Maise Yirei Elokim, Umehem Yotze Torah Yisrael. And they, our ancestors, grandfather, great-great-grandfather, and so on, they all were disseminators who spread Torah, he said, to a great degree. Regarding that is also, which is tragically, which is not uncommon to that period, that he points out that many, many, he says, of our family members had to die al Kiddush Hashem due to the many massacres. There was never going a very smooth generation, clearly, without there shouldn't be any trouble for the Jewish people. And he writes that many of our ancestors became Kedoshim simply the fact because they died al Kiddush Hashem. Interesting is regarding the father of the Rosh, as we spoke about actually in the very first shiur that we discussed, was Rabbi Yechiel. The Rosh always signed off, he says, is Osher ben Yechiel. His father's name was Yechiel. And the father of the Rosh was born in the year 1210. And he himself was also a Rav. And we're talking about in Germany now. He was a Rav, and also was a Magid Shir and a Beis Medrash. And it seems that he was also, maybe that was his parnosa, he was also a Sofer. And that we know, again, because the Rosh writes in one of his tshuvas, in Klal Gimel, the Rosh writes, Gamani re'isi l'abba mori. I saw my father, my master, Zechoyin Levrocha, Shetofar Sefer Torah. That he basically stitched together a Sefer Torah. Koponim, and also the Torah brings it down also in Yerudeis, in Resha and Ches, regarding that the father of the Rosh being involved in Stam, in some way. The father of the Rosh was Niftar on a Chalamoid Sukkis, which is 1263. And some say that, at least by one account, that his wife, which was the mother of the Rosh, was Niftar shortly after, but she, Nebuch, was murdered, and she died al Kiddush Hashem, from one of the many different redifas that Eden was subjected to at the time. It's interesting, regarding the father of the Rosh, we don't have too much about him. It's interesting that after he passed away, so all types of different legends sort of like emerged regarding him. Some of it actually from his einikel, that's Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh, who was a descendant, was an einikel of Rabbi Yechiel, and which brings out again that the father of the Rosh was not just the father of the Rosh, but he had a lot of yichas atzmoy, and he was an odom godel miyoid in many, many ways. And we don't have too much from him in writing, from the father of the Rosh, that we don't have, even though he is mentioned in other Svarim. In other Svarim of his Tekufa mention him, so they can see again that he was considered to be also an authoritative figure. But there's no doubt of any of his achievements that the father of the Rosh might have achieved in any area. Say the greatest achievement was that he produced the son of the Rosh. That was of everything that he had accomplished, and that was a giant, of course, whose Torah and his life is one can say is still living today. As the Gemara uses a lashon mipivonu chayim. The Gemara says that like a different gedolim time of the Mishnah. We live by their Torah. So I just should mention that the Maram Rothenberg, you know, was the Rebbe of the Rosh. So there's a Chuvis Maharam. There's a Chuvis Maharam from the Maram Rothenberg, and he writes as follows. Listen what he writes to his Talmud the Rosh, Maram Rothenberg, the Gadol HaDor, during his lifetime, of course, and he writes to the Rosh. He says that he was afflicted with a certain sickness. He calls it choli, he says, a particular sickness, duluro. This is what it was called in those days. Choli duluro. Shekofza alai, he says, a particular machla called duluro, which has became, he says, which I was afflicted by it. Machmas mashke ra asher shasisi. I drank something that, he says, that some bad beverage. Some unhealthy beverage, something was wrong in the mashke that I drank. And as a result, after I drank that mashke, all of a sudden I became ill. I became sick. And he gives the name of that sickness. And he says, V'ato shevach l'keil, and he says, like Baruch Hashem, he says, I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hey Kali, it became a little bit easier to tolerate. In other words, it was more aggressive before, but it's getting better. I feel a little bit better. However, writes the Maram to the Rosh, I ask you, v'ta'atir ba'adi, please be mispavel for me. Mam Rothenberg is writing this to the Rosh, his Talmud. Please be mispavel. Why? Muvtachani b'tfilosho. I have betochen, I'm certain, that your tefillah, he says, will be noise of Paris. His Loshen is, muvtachani b'tfilosho zacho, that your pure tefillah, I'm certain in your pure tefillah shitasa peiris uperet peiris. It will be a lot of many, many rewards that come from your tefillah. And he signs off later, Meir Bar Baruch, the Maram Rothenberg. So again, here a little bit about the life of the Rosh. So we can, I guess, go start a little bit. Let's look in the Orchis Chaim of the Rosh. We see the following. So go over here, actually, to Sif Chof. In the Sefer, this page, Daf Yud Beis, in the Orchis Chaim. Yom Rishon, Daf Yud Beis. Sif Chof. Okay, the Rosh in this Sif says as follows. Kishiagia eis tefila misholish tefila shebiyoyim. Well, he davens three times a day. When the Zman tefila comes, Zman Shachris, Zman Mincha, Zman Mariv, Yaniach kol asoka v'yispal. When the Zman tefila comes, right, leave alone, right? Leave your business, put your business aside, and go down. Go down. It seems mashma pashas from the Rosh that I guess being that, you know, that you have mincha gedoyl and you have mincha ketan, at least this is the understanding here in the Sefer that we are learning in the bottom. We have, this is the beer of Rav Moshe Sternbuch, that it appeared that the Rosh would be pushing, at least the Bosh would encourage to dav mincha gedoyl. Because mincha gedoyl, which is the early mincha, right, which is the early mincha, which is about 12:30, half an hour after Chatzos, because he says, when this man mincha, when this man tefil arrives, see that you dav. So put everything aside and go ahead and daven. Get your davening first, do your davening first. He says, Yaniach kol asoka v'yispalo. Put your business aside and daven. He means, certainly don't have your cell phone when you're davening. Put it aside. Put that for sure. That he didn't even mention. He says, but Klal, put your business aside, he says. Yaniach kol asoka. And then he says, which doesn't seem to have any connection at all in the same breath, V'roish kol advarim, and the most important thing, he says the Rosh, She'yishmar es'enov mikol dover she'en eshaloi. Make sure to guard your eyes from gazing at things that don't belong to you. Human nature is that if you see what somebody else has and you don't have it, you're going to be oivan loisachmoid, right? You're going to have the desire and you're going to want to have it and you'll be thinking about it. And sometimes even comes to a situation, if you really have a very strong, you may even come to steal it. But if you don't, you're going to be thinking about it, right? And this is going to arouse jealousy and you're going to have kinah, there's going to be envy. The Rosh says, Rosh kol advarim sheyishmar es einov mikol dover she'en eshaloi. So the best thing is, he's not simply telling you, don't desire what doesn't belong to you. Don't look at it. In other words, just don't start gazing at what other people have. Don't be interested in what they have. Bechlal, because once your eyes focus on what somebody else has, then it becomes very, very challenging and very difficult, right? Try to prevent yourself from having the type of feelings that you have. So as we say, it's always an ounce of prevention. What's the ounce of prevention, right? Not to fall in the category of desiring, right? And that which does not belong to you. By not even looking at it. Not even looking at it. Don't focus at it. Yishmar, he says, this Eino should watch his eyes, guard his eyes, and be called Dovor, She'eino Shaloi. It's an interesting thing. Look here in the bottom, as we have over here. You see here, Mikol Dovor, She'eino Shaloi. You see, this is all the way, always in the bottom of the beer, here in the bottom. It's just before the Chof Aleph. He says, Hadvarim Mavhilim. So you see, from the Rosh, you see, he says, it's sort of like frightening words, he says. See, frightening words from the Rosh. Sh'Rabbeinu Dairish, where the Rosh is requesting, Loi Rak, Loi Lihisavois Leluxus Shel Chaveroi. The Rosh is not merely satisfied that you don't desire your friend's luxuries. He's not satisfied with that. He doesn't even want you to look at it. He says, Elo Lishmarenov Loi Listakui Lestam. Don't even look at it. The Rosh of the Rosh. Yishmar Seinov, Mikol Dovo, She'ena Shaloi. Now, of course, the usual problem is, what is the connection between these two things? You realize this is all in one sentence. The Rosh starts out to say is, when Zman Tefila comes, he says, put your business aside and done. And the Rosh continues on to say, also guard your eyes from desiring or from looking. Forget about desire, not there yet. Guard your eyes from even looking at that which doesn't belong to you. So Rav Moshe Sternbuch suggests, and we're going to see more about that in the sheet soon, but let's take a look. He says, what's the connection between the two things? Davening, properly, and the other thing is guarding your eyes, right, from something that does not belong to you. So he says as follows, V'reish kol advarim, the Rosh said, the most important thing is, Sheyishmar Seinov Mikol Dover She'en Eshaloi. Hachavon Anire, Shemeniach Asoka V'Mispal. He says, when a person puts his business aside to daven, obviously, what he is showing, he believes And he's in the middle of the business. It could be very big nesoyim many times. So I'm going to go now. I'm going to go and daven. Look, I'm in the middle of making money over here. And a person does not really have a munah that parnosa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It may be difficult for him right smack in the middle of the day to say, I'm going to shul to daven. I'm going to daven. But a person who does put his business aside, to daven, he shows that what? Bekach mare, he is showing, shemamin shapanosa mi'ito yizborach shemoy. He's showing that he believes that his pranosa comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu, not from his business. His business is just the ishtadlus. His business is just the ishtadlus that he has to do. But the fact is that he puts his business aside for davening to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? He's indicating by that he believes that his pranosa comes from Hashem. Ah, if you believe your panosa comes to Hashem, then you don't desire what doesn't belong to you. So that goes hand in hand. So therefore the Rosh says, now I'm telling you, guard your eyes from looking at that which doesn't belong to you. So a person who believes that that which he has comes from Hashem, so now we can, and you're such a person, and you're showing it. You're showing it in a way is that you're ready to put your business aside, you're ready to put your business and go to daven. So now at least you're demonstrating that you believe that your panosa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you are in that madrega, right, if you're that madriga, then we can expect, says the Rosh, that I should ask from you to do the proper thing, and that is further, that to guard your eyes, right, from looking and studying that which does not belong to you. Because once you come to that realization, that you are showing that you believe the Panosa comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu, so therefore you should not really be focusing on that which is not yours. Okay, this is one akuda. So I'd like you to go to the sheet. We see a number of very interesting things regarding the Rosh is talking about the inyan of tefillah, the cheshivas of tefillah, and so on. First, we have the first item you take a look here is from the Or Yecheskel. The Or Yecheskel is a little pirish that's from Reb Chaskel Levinstein, who was Begiach and Ponovich. As you mentioned, that many, many yeshivas, right, that they had a Seder in learning the Or Yecheskel the way we are learning it now. In Kelm, they had a Seder that they learned at Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul used to learn Or Yecheskel of the Rosh. In any case, you had the Mashgichim of yesteryear, you know, the Choshe, great Mashgichim, that they would study it, and they would have Perushim, different insights. Again, the Rosh is Arishin. So now you can see many, many Perushim in the wording of Arishin. There's more than one Kavona, many, many times. So here, for example, on those words, on the opening words that the Rosh says, Kishagia eis tefillah. Again, this is quoting the words of the Rosh. When the time of davening comes, Misholish tefillahs of any of the three tefillahs, Shebiyoim, the Rosh said, put your asokim aside, right? Vachuli. And then the Rosh said, Varosh kol hagdorim, Sheyishmar einov, that he should guard his eyes. So he said, what is the connection? So, Rav Chatzkel Levinstein sees a connection, how a Mashgiach looks at a connection. A Mashgiach looks at a connection of this, he says. Yeduai says, the Or Yecheskel, you realize, very interesting thing, the Or Yecheskel that we are learning, the Rosh did not necessarily write it for us. He wrote it for himself. You had great Gedolim, you know, that they made a list of things that they should work on for themselves. Once they wrote it for themselves, you know, we're allowed to look in and also learn from it and gain some benefit from it. But the Rosh Kavon was not necessary to write it for you. As a matter of fact, he says, Yedua, he says. It's Yedua Shaharosh Zal Kosav Or Yecheskel Liatzmoy. That he wrote the Sefer Or Yecheskel, he wrote this for himself. So he wrote it for himself. Look how the Rosh himself was afraid. Look at the great Yerushimayim that the Rosh had. What do you see from this phrase, from this statement over here? Because look, look at the Gaidel Yerosha Shel HaRosh Zal. Look how afraid the Rosh was. Look at the Yerushimayim that the Rosh had. The Rosh himself, if he wrote it for himself, so he's really talking to himself, that he should encourage himself not to look what other people have. You know why? Pen al yedezeh yachmoid v'yizbalbul b'tfilosoy b'lochein tzorfam kan yachid. In other words, it's very hard, Rabbi Yisai, to have kavon and davening when your head and your mind is on something else. When your head is connected to gashmis, I want this and I need that. Very hard to be masiyach das. Okay, now I'm not going to think about it. Now I'm going to think about davening. But if a person is able, right? If a person is able to separate himself from that which does not belong to him and from outside desires, then your mind can be clear for davening. So he says, that's why the Rosh says, make sure to guard your eyes, not to develop desire for things that don't belong to you. Now you'll be able to daven properly. Because otherwise, you can have all these different machshavas. Instead of focusing on the davening, right, your kavon is going to be in all the material, right, all the material potentials that you may, that, right, go out and try to achieve and try to gain. So this really is hand in hand. In order to strengthen a person's kavana, to protect the kavana of a person, is to see, to block out all the other secondary desires which may stand in the way of your kavana of tefillah. And therefore, says the Rosh, make sure you don't have these outside desires. Guard your eyes, says the Rosh, from looking and being mistakel, things that don't belong to you. The Rosh was concerned because if you do develop such a desire, he said, then that will, says, be mavatal my kavana. My kavana will not be pure. And that's this human nature. If you're thinking very strongly about something else, very difficult then to concentrate on what you should be concentrating on. So now, also there's Hagoyis, by the way, it's called Iyunim, on the Orchis Chaim from Cheskel Sarna, with Rosh Yiv of Chevron. And he says as follows, he also wants to explain, what's the connection? The Rosh starts out to say again, put your business aside when it comes to Davin. Fine. And then he said, guard your eyes from looking at that which doesn't belong to you. Again, what's the connection? So Cheskel Sarna said like this, because interesting thing, if a person Davins, you're hoping that Hashem will be mekabel your tefillah. You're hoping that Hashem will be mekabel your tefillah. One of the things that blocks Kabbalah's tefillah is gzeila. If a person has, and he puts his hand, into areas of money that does not belong to him, it's not just gzeila, which is the veir of gzeila, but it stands in the way of his tefillah. And that is the Medrash in Parashas Noach, because one of the things that happened during the Mabul, matter of fact, Rashi says on the posik kimol horas chomos mipneim. Remember the posik there? Chomos is robbery, thievery. Lenechtam gzardinam elal gezel with gzela, and there we find Chazal telling us that gzela stands up and blocks, he says, the tefillahs from going to Shemayim. So therefore, let's take a look at the words of Cheskel Sarna. Now we can see very clearly the connection. When the Rosh says that kol advarim, that one of the main things is, he says, to be careful, sheyishmer einof, to guard your eyes, ki agezel hu mehadvarim hamaakvim, v'asher goyrimim shatfila lo tiskabu. Gezel is one of the things that are ma'akev, that your tefillah should not be accepted. Ukemamorim zal, as Chazal say in the Medrash in Parshas Noach, it says there like this. Chazal say, so malei avoinis, if a person, let's say, has a measure of a lot of sins, which is the first sin that's going to stand up against him, to prosecute him? Man has a lot of sins. So every sin is going to stand up against him. Which is the first sin that's going to stand up against him? So the Medrash says, Mime katrik b'roish, gezel. Gezel, that's the first one. The Medrash says in Parshas Noach. So therefore the Rosh suggests Cheskel Sarna. That's why the Rosh put this together. Because first the Rosh says, put your business aside in order to daven. But in order for your davening to mean something, to be effective, make sure that your eyes are guarded from that which is not yours. In other words, make sure that your hands are clean. Make sure that your hands are going to be clean from that which is not yours. Because if you have in your possession that which does not really belong to you, gezel is ma'akif tefillah. So that's a very important nekuda. Many times, many times wonder, they daven so hard, it says, and so much not going. Maybe there was something dishonest in their business life. Who knows? Yeah, it could be many other reasons. That's not the only thing. But certainly gzeila is something which is definitely a potential factor to consider. So in the long run, you don't gain anything by that. We have here, interesting, among the different svarim that have made Peirushim, on the Orchis Chaim LaRosh, is the Sefer Derech Yishara from Rabbi Nasha Klein. Rabbi Nasha Klein wrote a Sefer Derech Yishara. And he also suggests something very interesting. It's a little bit what we saw before from Rav Moshe Sternbuch, but a little bit of a different twist. He said, again, what is the connection that the Rosh again puts together? Put your business aside, says the Rosh first, and daven. And then the Rosh says, guard your eyes from looking at that which does not belong to you. What is the connection? So he says as follows. Kishagia is tefillah. Right? The Rosh says, when the time of davening comes, put your business aside. And then the Rosh says, V'rosh kol advarim. And the most important thing, says the Rosh further, Sheyishmer es einov, mikol dover sheni shaloi, from anything that's not yours. Nearest tmiches onyonim, he says. He says, I'd like to explain, he says, what is the connection between these two things? Shemi shemamin shahashem moirishu ma'ashir. The person truly believes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is who makes rich and makes poor. If you believe that, eina kosheloi l'haniach hasokov gimel pomin b'yoyim. For such a person, it's not very difficult to put your business aside three times a day. You may have to put your business aside. As he points out, Ayin Tona Debei Eliyahu, Rabba, Perikut Ches, and the Aniyah Hakol Taliv of Yelch Beis HaKnesses. A person who believes that it's Parnos and Kronos, it's not all that difficult to put your business aside for davening. However, Aval Misha Choshev, in contrast, but a person who believes she'efshe she'yasher b'roiv charitzus, but a person that feels that he can become rich if he's shrewd, charitzus is somebody who's very shrewd. A person who believes that his shrewdness can make him rich, ve'yikach macherim, and maybe he can take from others, such a person is koshel la'niyach hasokov. A person who thinks that his atzloch is in his own hands, very difficult, he says, hey, I'm going to lose out, I'm going to put my business out, I'm going to lose out. If he believes that the success, the source of success is his own doing. So therefore, the Rosh starts as follows. So now we can understand the connection of the two things that the Rosh brings down. The Rosh says, put your business aside, kishagia eis tefillah. But in order to be able to do that, the Rosh kol advarim, to be able to do that, to put your business aside for the sake of davening, because if a person really understands that that which is not his does not belong to him, then it should not be so difficult to put your business aside when you go to daven, because then he understands where it really comes from, he says. But he says, lahaniach hasokov, right, and this is the kavana. And it's kedai, if we go further, I want you to go here to number 5. Now number 5 is really, is very fascinating, a few lines. This is from the Kuzari. Kuzari, not very often that a sefer that is so learned, simply because it's a deep philosophical sefer. And the Kuzari is something that, it is something that needs a lot of study, simply to understand, you know, first of all, the Lashon is very difficult. It's a very, very difficult, it was translated, you know, from Arab, it's in Arabic and some different Lashonis as well. And basically, we know that the Kuzari was, the Mechaber was Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Yehuda Halevi was born in Toledo. Was born in Toledo, again, that's the place where the Rosh lived, as we pointed out. But he was before. Yehuda Halevi was before. Yehuda Halevi was born around 1080, very early, and he was nifter in 1145. Yehuda Halevi, and Yehuda Halevi, in addition to being, of course, he's a rishon in Torah, but he became a master in the literary style, both in Hebrew and Arabic. He wrote in both languages, he writes. And he also studied science and medicine, which was not uncommon. We know the Ramban was a physician as well, and the Rambam was a physician as well, and so on, as we found out. And he also. And the truth is that he earned his livelihood, Yehuda Halevi earned his livelihood from practicing as a physician. But Lamaise, he writes, Yehuda Halevi writes, that he credited neither himself nor his profession with the ability to heal the sick. Yes, I'm a doctor, he said, but it's not, he said, my knowledge of refuah. And the lotion that he writes is, he says, not on my own cure do I rely, but to your cure, he says, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do I aspire. So writes Yehuda Halevi. I'm just a shliach, but the true koyach of my power to heal comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like many Spanish scholars of the time, because he was a Sfardisher, right? He composed many lofty Hebrew piyutim, poetry, and so on and so forth. For example, I don't know if you're aware that one of the Zemiris, not everybody sings that, you know, different Mahogany with Zemiris you sing Friday night, but Yom Shabbosin is from Yehuda Halevi. Yom Shabbosin El Lishkoyach. Yom Shabbosin, which is one of the Zemiris of Friday night, if you have it in the Zemiris, that's one of his. And certainly we know that in the Kinnis of Tisha B'Av that we have Tziyon Haloi Tishali, which is from him. And you know, everybody knows there was Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra, that's the famous Ibn Ezra. But there was also Rabbi Moshe Ibn Ezra. Moshe Ibn Ezra, himself a great Rishon and a poet, had the greatest praise for Yehuda Halevi, who was younger than him, and invited him to come settle in his hometown, which was Granada. And at that time, Rabbi Halevi came in contact with many, many peoples of nobility who admired the wisdom and the knowledge of Yehuda Halevi. So Lamaise, it's just to point out, in the Kuzari, he writes as follows, and he says, I should point out that, I guess, of the many, many contributions in Torah as a philosophic work, you know, we have here, which is the Kuzari. And the Kuzari, again, as mentioned, was originally written in Arabic, and it was translated into Hebrew by Rabbi Yehuda Ibn Tibbon. Yehuda Tibbon was the master translator, and later was translated into Latin, was translated into Spanish, was translated into German, and even into English. The Kuzari, many, many different languages. All right? And first edition was in Italy, in Fano, was in 1506. was it? In any case, so Rabbi Yehuda Halevi here again, and by the way, in the go into the early editions of the Kuzari, you'll find Perushim there itself. But even with the Perushim, it's difficult to learn. Subsequently, as years went on, different Perushim were written with more clear language, more common language that we're used to. Now, even the Hebrew of the earlier editions that others tried to translate was also difficult many times to understand. So here we have here a line of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari Mamar Gimel Ois Hei. And this is, by the way, this is on, again, we're connecting this with the Rosh. Again, the Rosh said, Kishagia Eis Atfil, number 5, we have it here on the sheet. Okay? Kishagia Eis Atfil, the Rosh said, Misholish Atfil Shibiyoim, Yaniach Kol Asoka V'Yispal, let him put aside all his business. Okay? He was just taking a few lines. Kuzari is Maruch Mor, but this is a few lines of Kuzari. And he says as follows, V'tiyah Ho'esahi, when the time of davening comes, it's not just the time of davening. Look at the Kuzari, says, Lev Zemanoyu Pirioi. That should be the central, right? The central point of your time is and of all your achievements. In other words, the time of davening, that should really be the main focus, he says, of what you're doing during the day. You have to do a lot of things during the day. But that should take on, that should be the central, be the central point of your life, as he says. The Yushar Itoisov and all the other Zmanim around it, all the other Zmanim around the time of Tila, are merely Drachim Hamagiyim Aloesahi, are merely paths that are merely allowing you to arrive at the time you should be able to daven properly. He says, Yisave Kirvosoi, a person should have a desire, he says, to Tila. A person should have a desire to the closeness that Tila brings, because Shiboy Mizdame Beruchniyim. To Tila, a person becomes, right, becomes similar, closer to Malochim. He says, V'yisrachik mahabehemiyim. In other words, a person, a Bosavdom, is able to distance himself from his earthly being and becomes a spiritual being. That's through the Koyach of Tila. But that's only if Tila is the central, right, is a central point in your life. That should be the tachlis of your day and your night. Hasholish itishal tefillah. You know what he says? The three zmanim of tefillah, this should encompass, he says, all of your 24 hours. That should be the central focus of all your 24 hours. Vaseder hahi, and that seder that we have, davening spaced, right, davening spaced 3 times a day. That seder, he says, mahanefesh kiseder hamozoin mahaguf. In other words, the same way that the human body, the physical body, needs nourishment, but you need physical food, the neshama also needs nourishment. So the 3 times a day, like a person eats 3 meals a day, the neshama also needs 3 meals a day. What are the 3 meals of the neshama? The 3 davening, the 3 tefillos. The 3 tefillos, in the same way that a person knows, in order to right to survive, so he eats a number of meals a day, that's the nourishment for the guf. The neshama also needs spiritual nourishment. And therefore, says the Kuzari, Haseder Hazeh means the Seder of the 3 times a day davening, right? Mahanefesh, regarding the neshama, is Keseder Hamozim Haguf. Like the same way that you're feeding your guf. Mispala Lenapshoi, Venizim Legufoi. Tefillah is nourishment for the guf, and the mezoinis and sustenance and nourishment is for the guf. One is for the neshama, tefillah is for the neshama, and the other one is for the guf. And look what he says further. Now, he says the spiritual hashpah that davening has lasts you throughout the day till the next tefillah. It's a bridge. When you daven say shacharis, so the davening of shacharis, right, elevates you up till the time of the next tefillah. The next tefillah you need, because it needs to carry you over, he says, for the next few hours, to the next tefillah. So he points out. In the same way, when you eat breakfast, breakfast, the food of breakfast carries you until lunch. Lunch, you're hungry again. But then you eat lunch, and it carries you till dinner. The same thing in the spiritual sense, says the Kuzari. The davening that you do with the first tefillah carries your neshama, right? It carries over your neshama till the next tefillah. So all the spiritual achievement, right, that you have from the first davening, it holds you. It holds you, it says, till the next tefillah. That's what he points out. Umasmedes all of birches hatfilah, he says. Masmedes all means the bracha that tefillah brings. Masmedes means, right, it connects with you. Ad eis tefillah cheres, kehasmodas koyach sudas hayoi machizim alayla. The same way, right, that the koyach of one meal stays with you till the next meal, So the same thing spiritually, the koyach, right? The koyach and the product of the spiritual achievement of one tefillah holds you, it carries you over till the zman of the next tefillah. The cholah shetircha kesa tefillah. Oh, Nameli says, try to daven the first opportunity you can, because the more you delay the tefillah, right? It's like in the physical sense also. If a person eats later than he's used to, you can. There's hunger pains. The neshama also has hunger pains. The neshama has also hunger pains, but it's more than it has hunger pains, because the more that a person distances and delays his davening, he says, then the neshama is left without spiritual shmirah. You know, the davening is also what protects the neshama. He says the Kuzari, the more that a person distances, right, pushes aside the zman of davening, mahanefesh, he hoileches v'koideres, then the neshama goes, and it falls into darkness, then it's affected. The neshama becomes affected by everything around it, in this gashmi physical world. It needs the koich ha-tfilah to protect it, he says. Or beis ha-tfilah, look what he says, metayer nafshoy. So it's a gavaldic thing. We think that tefillah, we always think of tefillah being a means to an end. Notice, we have a lot of bakoshes. How do we look at tefillah? We look at tefillah being a means to an end. What do you mean a means to an end? Tefillah is an emtsoi, right? In order that Kadosh Baruch Hu should be mamala, hopefully, our bakoshes. Right? We need refuah. So tefillah is a means to an end, to get refuah. We need panosa. Tefillah is a means. Besides tefillah being a means, right, for the bakoshes, tefillah is an end in itself. Tefillah purifies your body. It purifies the neshama. So forget about milui bakosha. Forget about fulfilling your bakoshas. Some person says, oi, what did I do? I davened. I didn't accomplish anything. My tefillahs were not answered. The fact that you davened itself, he says, it purified your neshama. It purified your neshama. You have become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That in itself is a tremendous achievement. So don't look at tefillah being, right, as an emtsoi, as being, right? I think it's a means for something else. Tefillah is a tachlis in its own right. Tefillah is a tachlis in its own, regardless of whether you feel you're answered or not answered. That's something else. That's another nekudah. That's what the Kuzari says. Ube'ez ha-tefillah mitaya nafshoi. When a person davens, it purifies your neshama. How can you say it didn't accomplish? Yeah, if you didn't daven properly, maybe you didn't. Person's supposed to take medicine, right? And he doesn't take it properly, it's not going to work. The tefillah is going to purify your neshama if it's a tefillah. But if it's a faulty tefillah, if it's a damaged tefillah, if it's a tefillah that's a balmum, that's what kind of a tefillah. So hopefully, if it's a proper tefillah, if it's a proper tefillah, mitay nafshoy, mikol mashikodam. So no matter what, right? So whatever happened before that the neshama became, neshama could become defiled. The neshama became your metame, your neshama, right? Your poigim in your neshama. But the tefillah is metame, mekoma shekodam, the yisak nelosid. And it also prepares the neshama for the future. Ad shleyaver shvua al zeh haseda. Don't let a week go by, he says, ad yisak en hanefesh vahaguf, until he said, this is going to take care of it. So again, so we see here that the koich of tefillah, we find out from the Kuzari that tefillah is not just a means to an end to receive your bakoshes, to refueinu, baruch halein. Yes, of course, we want all of these things. But you realize that tefillah stands on its own. Tefillah stands on its own also. The fact that you davened, you already achieved tremendously. You're not the same person. You're not the same person after tefillah. You shouldn't be, at least. You should not be. You're a changed person. Can the tefillah purify your neshama? So there's a very popular lecture, Ramon Chenugrashel. And the interesting thing is that he wrote quite a number of different svarim that were published, and he also has many different essays on the Kuzari. On the Kuzari. So here's just a few lines. It's from the Pirish on the Kuzari he has. It's called Midarke Halev HaYehudi. The word Midarke has the word Mordechai in it. And his name is Mordechai. Medarke Halev HaYehudi. So he points out, he says like this. He says, the Kuzari says that tefillah, right? Tefillah, besides everything else, tefillah itself, it purifies the neshama. So he says, in the same way that the human body has a kidney, right? And the kidney purifies the blood that goes through it. Tefillah is a kidney. It's a spiritual kidney. It purifies your neshama, he says. That's the nekuda. That's the type of analogy he puts the tefillah. Ubeis ha-tefillah, right? These are the first opening. These are the words of the Kuzari. Ubeis ha-tefillah mitay nafshe mekol mashekodam. So he writes, ma godel koich ha-tefillah yesh. Imagine how great the koich ha-tefillah yesh. Bekoich ha-letayrus odom mikol inyone hayoyim. In other words, whatever happened before davening, the tefillah wipes it all out. It cleans your slate. It erases. It erases everything that really should not be there. It mamish, it's metayer, bikolin yonayim. Hatfila mishameshes me'ein kilyo. What's a kilyo? A kidney. Kidney. The kidney. Kemoisha kilyo hafizis, right? Just like the physical kilyo. Metaheres es adam mikol apsoilis. It purifies the dam from all of the impurities, shesoifik v'mahal tiula beguf, where all the impurities, right, where the bloodstream as it runs flows through the goof, right? Kacha tefillin metaheres es nefesh odom mikol ma shesovgo. You know, the neshama absorbs so many things that it shouldn't have. You were reading things that you shouldn't, you saw things that you shouldn't, right? So now, of all the impurities that your neshama absorbed, comes tefillah, it's like a kidney, and purifies it, he says, from all of the negative things, shesovgo b'shoyah shecholfu matfilah kedemes, from between one tefillah and the next, right? So all the negative experiences, from what comes the next tefillah, and wipes it all out. And then again, you have again a break, right? As it comes, whatever it is, the last tefillah always wipes out the things that should not have been there between the previous tefillah and the next tefillah. That is the koyach of tefillah. So that is really what the Kuzari really is telling us. In any case, what the Rosh says, put your business aside, says the Rosh, when comes the time of davening, and make sure that, in fact, that you daven. So we have, I want you to look here at number 8. You know, the Klosenberg Rebbe was very well known, and many people used to go to Union City. We used to give the Chumash Rashi, famous Chumash Rashi Shurim, which have been published from, you know, from the tapes that he used to give. And were very, very popular Shurim, and the Sefer is called Shefer Chaim. So here in Parshas Vayetze, Tovshin Mem Dalet, which is 1984 we're talking about, and there he has a segment. Look what he says over here. This was taken from a tape and then was transcribed. He said there in the shir in Parshas Vayetze, he said, "Hakol toloi b'tfilah shemispal ha'odom." Everything is dependent on how you daven. Ein shum koyach kiyum b'li avodas ha'tfilah. There's nothing that could exist if there's not tfilah. Nothing. It's very common, very frequent. Very frequent that the Rebbe used to say, the Rebbe used to say like this, "Al tachshov, do not think, ki rak al dvorim she'enon behestig yad yesh espal alayim." People think that you only daven for things that naturally you can't get it. It's something that seems to be beyond your reach. Oh, for that I have to daven. But something that's so simple, you can get into your car, right, turn on the ignition. You don't have to daven for that. You do have to daven. You have to daven that your ignition should start the car. So that's a poshit. I know a yid, Mamish, which is very conscientious of this, it was a choshevi. He said, every time I drive, I give a special tefillah to Rebbeinu Shloim to say I should have a parking space. So I have a parking space. Yeah? You daven for everything. You daven for everything. So there's an old bais, he says, you know the old joke. He's David Boshem, please give me a parking space. All of a sudden he finds a parking space. Boshem, don't worry about it, I found one already. So you don't have to bother, I found one already. All right. So don't think Kirakal Dvorim Shein on Behesig Yad. Only things that are unreachable, Yeshus Baum. Loiki! Gamal Dvorim Shein Behesig Yad, Mamish, you crave him, Alechad Moy. Things that Mamish you can touch with your hand. He used to be mavate. He used to express himself. He said like this: "Gam mi sheyesh kvar biyodei oitzus kesef zov, a person who could have treasures of gold and silver, still has to be in store. Boy, should give me bread to eat. The person said, I have $1 million in the bank. Do I have to ask Hashem for a slice of bread? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I don't care how much you have in the bank. You still have to ask Hashem because you never know what could happen. Everything you have to be misfollowed. The thing as pushing as that. You have to be responsible for that. Go down the arrow. It's a hemshir. Binyan zeho yamaskis am super bizarre HaKodesh. You have to mention that which the Zohar HaKodesh says, al Rabbi Yisrael Sova. He used to be Rabbi Yisrael Sova. He was elderly, right? An elderly Rabbi Yisrael. She'af shehoilim mezoinoi, even though he had his mezoinis, he had his food ready. Lohoyo oichel achi spal tchil. He would not eat until he davened first, even though he had the food right in front of him. Lalamdeinu, she'gam kishalechem munach al ashilchon tzruchon spal. Even though you think you have it. What do you mean? It's right here. Why have to daven for it? It's right here. Even if the bread is on the table. Kigamim hakel muchen lefonov adain zokikul nanisim gedoilim. Guess what? You have food on the table, you still need nisim gedoilim. What's a nisim gedoilim? Chaz v'sholem, your hand shouldn't become paralyzed. You should be able to go and reach it. How do you know Chas V'Shalom people get a straw from one second to the next? He says, so you still need Nisim Gedoyim V'Rachim Hashem Yisborach Shal Yishtat Ku Yodov V'Shekleo Achilu B'nei Amayim Yasus Tafkido M'Shleimus. And how many people cannot digest their food? How many people have so many different stomach problems? They can't eat and they're in such strict diets and situations. So just because there's food on the table, don't take for granted that you have it. You keep the spowl, should be able to eat it, should be able to move your hand, should be able to take it, and all that. We already have mentioned, that's what Bistol Salanter said, they should mention here again. So Salanter was very much into care of the father of the Musar movement, Bistol Salanter. So he goes to Paris. Paris was a place, Bichlal was not for any Jewish boy, but he went there for the sake of Kiruv, and he was an Odom Godel, and he was very successful in whatever he did. And he was thirsty, so he goes into a restaurant, and he asked for a glass of water. And they brought him a glass of water. And then came the bill, and he looked at the bill, it was an exorbitant amount of money, an awful lot of money for a glass of water. So he asked the waiter, whoever, he says, why does this glass of water, why are you charging me so much? So he said to him, you don't understand. Do you think you're just paying for the glass of water? You came to a restaurant, we gave you a chair, we gave you a table, we gave you lighting, we gave you air conditioning, we gave you heating, you have the whole ambiance, you have everything. You're paying for everything. Oh, said Bistol Salanter, now I understand for the first time, Shahakul Niyam Bidvaroi. You're not just thanking Hashem for the glass of water. You gave me the mouth. You gave me the stomach to be able. You gave me the thirst to be able to have a desire. You have the rivers and the oceans and the rain, everything to be able till this glass of water comes to my table. You thank Hashem for everything, for telling everything through to be able to come to it. You're not just thanking for the glass of water. This world is a big restaurant because Baruch Hu gave you all the heating and the lighting, everything. You're sitting in Hashem's beautiful world. You're thanking Hashem for everything. The glass of water, till you do get the glass of water to be able to enjoy it, how many things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to put into place that you shall be able to have that glass of water? Shahakol Nibidvor, it's a big bill. Now, Brother Plan used to say, he says, this world's a very expensive hotel. When you leave this world, he said, you better be ready to pay the bill. The bill is Torah Mitzvahs, he said. Because you know, when do you pay? When you pay when you leave. Somebody told me that he saw a very poor man. He said, could not afford it. He saw him in a hotel. So he asked him, he says, Yankel, how long have you been here? He said, 3 weeks. He said, do you realize what 3 weeks are going to cost you? How are you going to pay for it? So he said, I have no problem. You only pay when you leave. I'm not leaving. I'm staying. So, okay. So you see what happens here. So this world is a hotel, but one day, there's going to be a cheshbon. You have to pay the bill over here, boy side. So this is the Shayim. Turn it on the side. And look here, you see here, this number 9. These are really amazing words. This is from the Yaris Devash. So we wrote the Marmokim a little bit on the left side. We even said Aibshis from the Sefer Yaris Devash, famous Droshes. Ms. Aibshis, you can see the Goyin Hador as he was and the great Onav as he was at the same time. Look what he says. B'yosef Aibshis says, Bodik Menusa, it is something clear. It has been tested. If a person davens in the morning, and he says, Krishna Bekavona, Sheboy Beyoim Yiskel Dvar Mitzvah. First, you'll be Zoichet to a Dvar Mitzvah. A Mitzvah will come along your way. V'yatzliach Biskoy. I will be a Matzliach in your business. And even though you don't see it right away, V'af Shelisho Yachshev She'enoy. And even though momentarily you'll say, it's not like that. I'm not being Matzliach. B'soifoy Yimtso She'kenhu. That's even in Gashmias. V'ein Tzorchloim She'atzliach Boy Beyoim B'toyro. Or mitzvah gerer is mitzvah, but v'chein lehefach. If you don't daven properly, he said, it's just the opposite. Then it's aveira gerer is aveira. Now look what he says. He's indicting himself. Only an Odom Godel like Rabbi Yosef Aibshitz is indicting. Oyli al shivri, he says. Woe is to me. Shivri means man broch, as they say in Yiddish. Oyli al shivri, he says. Woe is to me, he says. Be'eish she'eini mispal b'kavona karoi. He says, woe to me, he says, when I'm not davening, he says, with proper kavona. Can you imagine Rabbi Yosef Aibshitz, he says. Guess what he says. A day that I don't daven b'kavona, kol hayoim ein shemu osi b'toyre mechuvenes. He says, that day, he says, I'm not matzliach in my learning. It's a hafl of a fella. I have to tell you that the truth is Marsham. Marsham was a poisek ador, Marsham. Now, Marsham cannot be accused, you know, of saying something just for the sake of saying it. He mentioned Rabbi Shmelke of Nicholsburg. Now, you think of Antler, Rabbi Shmelke of Nicholsburg, you think of some sort of a Hasidic Shemaisa, Rabbi Shemaisa. But here the Marsham brings it as a poisek ador. Rabbi Shmelke of Nicholsburg was a brother to the Hafloa, right, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. Both of them were Talmidim of the Maggid, right? Both of them were Talmidim of the Maggid. Just to mention that the Hakdamah of the Tanya, when the Tanya wrote a Shulchan Aruch, the Tanya wrote a Shulchan Aruch, they call it Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Tanya wrote it at the behest of the Magid. The Magid of Mezrich commissioned him, he told the Tanya, he says, I give you a mission, I want you to write a Shulchan Aruch. And the Tanya at first, he had hesitation whether really if he's the right person for it, whether he's able to do it, and so on and so forth. But the Magid says, no, you can do it, and you'll be successful in doing it. However, interesting thing, the Magid said, when you write Chveis, you can write the first few chapters of the Sefer, I want you to give it to be looked over to Acheyim Akdoshim, to the Holy Brothers, the Haflo and the Rebbe of Shmolke, let them look it over first. So it's brought down the Hakdom. If you take a look at Shulchan Aruch HaRav, you'll see. So, the Haflo, Rebbe of Shmolke. So the Marsham brings down from the Rebbe of Shmolke, the Rebbe of Shmolke said, that a day that he didn't say, I have a rabbi with Kavona, who is not able to be Mechadish, a Chiddush Emes in Torah. Yeah, it could be Mechadish things, but it's not a Chiddush Emes. So bring down the Marsham. Yatadam. A day, said Rabbi Shmolke, bring the Marsham. He didn't say, I have a rabbi with Kavona. And you see it here, half of the fellow brings to Ipshitz, because Ipshitz was being before. He says, the day that I don't daven properly, he said, my learning just doesn't go the way it is. Now you can be sure his learning, even on the worst level, was higher than anybody in this generation. Brings to Ipshitz learning on the worst level. But he knew what his capabilities are. He says, that a day that I'm not mispal with Kavona Karoyu, it's like torn. It's like torn bits and pieces. Well, a hefech, on the other hand, the opposite. Im ezak, if I cry out, to Kodesh Baruch from the depth of my heart, I say, Hashem, please give me das. My mind is so poor. Again, Saibish is saying it. Look at it. Hefech on his son. So they say this. It's just a mind-boggling thing. You hear the Kabbalah Habshitz, right? How he writes, like a person of his stature needs the koyach of tefillah, koyach to be matzliach in his learning, in his madrege. A day that I don't daven properly, he felt he was his madrege. He didn't daven b'kavon enough, according to him. He said my daven is on. Now I want to tell you about the Chazon Ish. Here we have the next piece, which is an interesting thing, by the Levi of the Chazon Ish. So his brother, Chazon Ish had a brother, was Rameir Karelitz. Rameir Karelitz, the brother of the Chazon Ish. Matter of fact, Nesir Sol Mreibach, there's a yeshiva called Yeshiva's Beis Meir, well-known yeshiva. Yeshiva Beis Meir is named after Rameir Karelitz, who was the brother of the Chazon Ish. And Rosh Yeshiva was Reb Zalman Rotberg, Zerchoin of Rocha, who is the son-in-law of Rameir Karelitz. So Reb Zalman Rotberg, who is the son-in-law of Rameir Karelitz, was Rosh Yeshiva. And many, many years ago, we had the old shul, before the shul, when we were still in the old shul, Reb Zalman Rotberg was here. Not only that, he was here in the year of Reb Moshe's Petira, and I asked them they should say Hesped in shul for Reb Moshe. And he did. Reb Zalman Rotberg said, he said a Hesped on Reb Moshe. You're talking about Reb Moshe being Mesayim Shulchan Aruch something like 400 times or something. He's talking about the godless of Reb Moshe. He gave that Hesped. Reb Zalman was also Nifter, and the yeshiva is taken over by a son of his, Reb Zalman Rotberg. So Reb Meir Karel is the brother of the Chazon Ish. Says everybody knew my brother. The Chazon Ish was the Godel Ador, the Poisek Ador. He says everybody knew the Chazon Ish was a tremendous masmid. That though they knew. Chazon Ish, yes, he says, Gvaldige Balkishrin, he had tremendous mind. He said, but that's not all, that's not the secret. That's not how he became the Chazon Ish. That's not. There are many people with great minds that didn't become Chazon Ishes. There are many people, even with Hasmoda, they did not become Chazon Ishes. They became maybe some Tamir Chachomim, yeah, but they didn't become Chazon Ishes. So what they didn't know, he said, the Chazon Ish, every day when he davened, when he said, Ato Choyne Lodom Das, he actually poured out his heart to Kodesh Baruch Hu, please give me Das. Give me das. A person of the Chazon Ish, he still was mispal ato choyin ladam das, and that was said at Levaya by Meir Karelitz. And take a look over here, number 10. Look at the second paragraph of the Noa Doirish v'domakayim. The Chazon Ish used to speak about tefillah and used to keep it. Ochiv hagoyin. So Meir Karelitz, the choyin of Rocha Heyer, the hamailis b'toyre ubedas shehisig morna Chazon Ish. We have no asoge in the Galus B'Torah of the Chazon Ish. I believe we had already maybe mentioned. I heard a tape. There's not many, but there's a tape still, somewhat from 1954, from Robert Weissmandel. legendary Hatzolah Askim. I always say he's known legendary Hatzolah Askim. People don't realize he was equally a goyin and a tzaddik. I mean, tzaddik, yeah, sure, he had to be a tzaddik. A person who was moshe nefesh should be matal so many yidden. But he's a tremendous goyin. He's a tremendous goyin. He's a ilui. And so he said a hesper on Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was nifter Tovshin Yudalet. So he said the hesper, and he said this: I did not have the schus to know the Chazon Ish. He writes from Chobei Avais Mandel. He says, but I looked and I learned a little bit of his svarim. Anybody who looked in the svarim of the Chazon Ish could see that the Chazon Ish was written by a goyin kadman who might as well have lived 500, 600 years ago. So, and Chobei Avais Mandel was a maven on Rishonim, by the way, because he was a very expert in Kizviyad of Rishonim. We already mentioned he went and identified many Kizviyad in Oxford. And he writes, he says, the Chazon Ish might as well have lived, if you would not have known who he was, just looking at the Sefer, this is someone who had to live, something like he says, 500, 600 years ago. So he writes. That was the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish, the Hasog is HaToyev, the Chazon Ish, as he writes, is Lamal of our Hasog. We have no Hasog in the God of the Chazon Ish. But he says, his godless were Ayideisho, Yimischanein, Harbel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Bakosh HaSadas. And he was Mischanein. He begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me knowledge, give me knowledge. He was Mispala, give me knowledge. For Yimachavn, Ma'oi, B'Tfilish, Maneser, B'Birchis, Atochoinim. He was Mechavn. Right? And he says, imagine. So one would ask, why did he have to break his back to daven so strongly? People knew that Chazon Ish Hasmode, his commitment to learning was till he had no strength left. Until he had no strength left. As he says, if he had an ounce of strength left, he would still learn. He only stopped learning literally when his strength already clearly ebbed out. And yet, and in addition to that tremendous, tremendous asmoda, tefillah is needed. Tefillah is needed. It's zevezagoram. He says, "Damel is betoyer with the hagdom of tefillah." There's a meister that is mentioned that someone who was in a different room in the house of the Chazon Ish at a particular time that he heard a thud. He heard a thud. And he goes in to look and he sees the Chazon Ish fell. He fell. He's lying on the floor. And turns out, of course, you can imagine right away. He picks him up and so on and so forth. But he asked the Chazon Ish, he says, what happened? The Chazon Ish says, I learn and I calculate, he says, to the last bit of strength that I have. I made a cheshbon that from my chair, right, I stopped learning to leave enough strength, he says, from my chair, he says, to go to the bed. I miscalculated. I didn't leave enough strength and I fell. I miscalculated. I lived a little too longer. I didn't leave any koyach left. So that's the Chazon Ish. In any way, so this is what the Rosh Hakapatim is telling us. Make sure, take advantage of the three zmanim of tefillah, put your business aside, and concentrate on tefillah, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll have all the asloch and ashpoyes that we need.